So let us join together to worship God. Come, let us turn to God who was with us in all our sorrows, who weeps with us as we weep and who binds our wounds and who lifts our eyes towards an eternal horizon. We join together to sing, Our God, Our Help in Ages Past. Thanks to Rhiannon and Hansel, John and Nigel, who sang that opening piece for us. Thank you. And now we join together to pray. Let us pray. Living God, in spite of war and slaughter, in which personal prejudice and bigotry has been magnified through centuries, you have remained faithful, coming to us in women and men of peace and coming as the Prince of Peace. By the sacrifice and triumph of Jesus, you have made all who trust him children of Abraham and part of the great faith which will ultimately reconcile all things. Forgive us our rejection of your truth and love. Forgive us for turning again and again to false securities and to attitudes which divide us from each other, leading to violence and bitterness. We witness against ourselves, and we come again confessing that you are our God, that we will try to serve and try to obey. Bless us as we worship. Help us during this time to set our course in the right way and to find the strength that we need for the living of each day and living it well. Strengthen us for service and give us joy in obedience. We pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Sally, would you like to speak to us?
Good morning. I'm sure you've heard the saying, every cloud has a silver lining. And this morning I just want to spend a minute thinking about clouds, and I'm going to let me share my very limited A-level geography with you. I knew it would come in handy one day, and hopefully it will today. I hope I've got this right. In true government style, I'm going to say, can we have the next slide, please? Huh? Fantastic, it's going to come very soon. Oh, yep, that's the one. So that's some clouds, and they are called cumulus clouds. Probably seen those a number of times, and usually that's normally associated with good warm weather fronts. And the next one, please. This is called nimbus clouds, and as you can see, it's darker at the bottom, and that's often some bad weather coming in behind that. Some people have described that as looking like cauliflower. I don't think it does, but there we are. That's the nimbus cloud. And the next one, I love these. These are called cirrus clouds. They're just so light and wispy as they sort of fly across the sky, cirrus clouds. And then we've got another one. Wow, that's a cumulonimbus cloud. And quite clearly, there's a big storm brewing there. It's a fantastic photo. And then finally, this one I'm going to call our cloud with a silver lining. Okay, maybe not silver, but you know what I mean. And just wondering, where has the sun gone? You know, I'm sure you've been out in the sunshine and it's suddenly gone dull. And you might get something like this. It's very beautiful, but you think, where did the sun go? Well, we know that the sun is still there. It's just hidden behind the cloud. Although here it's as if the cloud can barely keep the sun hidden. Why am I telling you all about clouds? Well, because I want us to remember that even when the sun seems to be totally hidden, it's still there. And in our Bible readings today, we've got some silver linings. Jesus died, but he rose again. We will die, but we will be with the Lord Jesus. We have war, we're remembering that today, aren't we? We have war and violence and conflict, but we pray for peace, and peace comes. And to apply the cloud anomaly with today, we have been going through some sad times, and I think it's a bit like looking at clouds with no sunshine. But we need to remember that behind the clouds, there is always sunshine, and it will shine again. Amen.
Thank you, Sally. It's too easy to perpetually see the clouds and forget about the sun. You're absolutely right. So we have two readings. No shock to anybody to know that they're from Thessalonians and from the Gospel according to Matthew. The Thessalonians reading will be read to us by Ruth. Paul's practical theology develops with a concern for particular concerns. The Thessalonians want Paul to come back, and he uses an imaginative combination of sound of the archangel and blast of the trumpet, and also vision of the clouds of the Lord's descent and their future, and says that at this time they are to encourage one another. And then from Matthew, which Bethany will read to us, this is a parable that you only get in Matthew's gospel, though you get strands of it in Luke, not the whole story. It's about encouraging those first readers when the expected return of Jesus was delayed, as we know, 2,000 years later, and they are reminded that they know not neither the day nor the hour. And in this piece, Jesus is identified as the delayed bridegroom and the bridesmaid, church, both the faithful and the unfaithful, sisters and brothers. There's room for all of us. So let us listen, and then we will have the sermon, and then we will move into our act of remembrance.
One Thessalonians 4, verses 13 to 18, the Lord's coming. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words.
Good morning. At the time of the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 25, 1 to 12, the parable of a young woman. At the time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any spare oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and we all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to a wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Amen.
Greetings on this Remembrance Sunday. The texts are Matthew 25, 1 to 13, and 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 to 18. And maybe it would be a good plan to spend just a couple of minutes reflecting in silence on those who have given their lives for their country in a time of war, maybe on this day. Anyway, if we can help you, be in touch, and if it's just to say hello, that would be great. So a family member of mine goes out for a meal, and the bloke on the next table starts to cough, and then coughing turns to choking, and the man turns blue. And the family member goes over and hits him on the back, pats him on the back, smashes him on the back, and then, as he describes it, goes for the Heimlich 100%, all to no avail. And then he decides it's time for the Heimlich 150%. And at that point, a bit of food is dislodged. And the conversation among all of us later was, firstly, about what an embarrassing way to die that would have been. And then, secondly, what an amazing story to be able to tell. And then once we got more sensible, it was about how close we all are all the time to death. Stay awake, be alert, be ready for it. Or you can run, but you can never hide. And if ever there was a text written for a time like this, it's the story of the wise and the foolish girls. How much do we have by way of resources? And can each of us keep on going? And what are we doing in terms of resources at those times when we feel depleted? Past the wine, the crisps, the remote control, the buttons for the internet shopping, online gambling, tinkering with Buddhism light, New Age spirituality, self-help mantras, and other sweets, in quotes, from the internet? Or is this a time when we know we have oil that we can use, and we just need to be brave enough to release it and use it? Be alert to what is going on around us, to open our eyes. What's the deal with these wise bridesmaids here? Surely the text is not saying that Christian people need to be ones who hoard what they have and not share with others. And as we read it, it's dishonest to say to the foolish women, go off to the shops when they know the bridegroom is coming. Are the wise bridesmaids gloating? What sort of example is that? The question about the cruelty of sending them off to the shop is an irrelevant one, because they knew a place where they could get oil. That's verse 16. They went to buy it. The problem is they were delayed. One point that needs to be pointed out is that both groups, wise and foolish, fall asleep. All 10 were tired from waiting for the bridegroom. And the other message is that he may well be delayed. It was a true experience for the early church. They expected that the end would come straight away, but it hasn't happened. There was a job to do in the meantime. It was theirs. It is ours. If this is about the return and the end times and the great messianic feast, we can easily find ourselves lining up with the foolish women. Some of us, of course, write our books and make films about the exact date and time of the end times, but most of us ignore it. The call then is to be vigilant, to stay awake. Not to stay awake to the when, or particularly the reality of it, but the task that is ours while we wait. And what is that? Well, bearing witness and making disciples all over the world, welcoming the stranger, visiting the sick and the imprisoned. Of course, at the moment, what that looks like is very different. I have to say for myself, I'm nearly getting homesick for hospitals and hospices and nursing homes. It's been so long since I've been in one. But that doesn't remove me from the core task. No excuses. We have to be awake to the opportunities that are around us now. But surely we can't be chastised for not keeping vigilant for 2,000 years. Surely that's just a daft ask. But the sadness is that we rob ourselves of the comfort that is ours. Yes, there is the vision of a heavenly banquet, but there is another voice that proclaims the promise this way. See, the home of God is with mortals. God will dwell with them. They will be God's people, and God himself will be with them. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things will have passed away. Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4. The bridesmaids await, not only for the bridegroom to come, but also for the removal of pain and suffering. Keeping awake at this time is very difficult. Being at home, sort of pottering through the day, none of the social markers that keep us usually to account, whether you brushed your teeth or not, putting on proper clothes in your bottom half of your body because the Zoom's only interested in your top half. And to see and to be worried about what you're thinking, whether it's wise or whether it's not, it's a challenge. Being awake means living in the moment, this day, but living this day in the context of our faith. Our faith, our scriptures say that terrible things happen and still God is with us. Pandemics, world wars, and God is there. And today, when we remember all who died as the result of war, it's easy to glorify nationhood and militarism. They're both challenging ideas for us. But we are citizens of another country, Great Britain, or Korea, or Taiwan, or Hong Kong, or Malawi, or Uganda, or Nigeria. These places are not our home. We're serving here for a while, and we need to be awake but our ultimate citizenship is not on the earth. We need to be aware in case there is a conflict between where our ultimate citizenship is and where our temporary citizenship is. Our home is with God, and one day God will come to take us home. It might be in the end times, or it might be in death. And to live perpetually aware of that reality is vital for all that happens. The Thessalonians passage speaks of how we should mourn, not as those who are hopeless in the face of death. That doesn't mean that only losers cry at funerals and failed Christians join them. But when someone says we want to have a celebration of a life, I want to say the path to mental illness is over there and you've obviously already booked your place. When someone we love dies, we need to mourn. We're allowed to feel sad that they're not around with us as they were. It might be, depends on the circumstance, it might be that death feels like the right thing. They've lived a life and now it's over. It might not be like that. But even if they were very old and very frail, if you enjoyed their company, then you're bereft of them. Our faith speaks of those who are dead as being in the security of God's presence. That's in contrast to the Greeks and to many of the Jews at that time when the early church was born. These people were espousing revolutionary views. And what about those of us who have questions about life after death? Well, that sounds quite reasonable to me. We don't know exactly how it works, but my experience is that many of the questions that people have around life after death are actually questions about views about God. Start there is where I would start exploring, I say. Be alert. Use your oil. Look. Think, grow, develop, and let's not be people who sleepwalk into a half-baked life. The disciples are full of questions about God, and they said to the teacher, God is the unknown and the unknowable. Every statement about God, every answer to your questions is a distortion of the truth. The disciples were bewildered. Then, why do you speak of God at all? Why does the bird sing? Replied the teacher. Amen.
So let us move to our act of remembrance. So let us remember before God and commend to God's sure keeping those who have died for their country in war, those who we knew, those whose stories we have been told, those whose memories we treasure, and all who have lived and died in the service of humanity. We will be still for 2 minutes. Almighty and eternal God, from whose love in Christ we cannot be parted either by death or life, hear our prayers and thanksgiving for those who we remember. Fulfill in them the purpose of your love and bring us with them to your eternal joy. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them. So let us move to our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. Peace-loving God, on this Remembrance Sunday, your Church remembers all who have fallen in war. Those who relive war daily through injury or broken spirit. Those left behind grieving for a loved one, and those whose family dynamics have been changed because somebody generations ago died and their shadow has been long. We pray for those who seek peace, for those who are good negotiators, working with dedication and persistence, going the extra mile for peace. We pray for peace around the world. We pray particularly at this time for the citizens in the United States, at this time of transition. We pray for peace in people's homes. We pray that you would help us to find new ways of addressing aggression, constructive ways of challenging harsh regimes. Wise voices that speak out on issues of racism and prejudice, that we would seek justice as well as peace. And Lord, help each one of us in our small ways to be part of that. And we pray for ourselves and for those that we love. and we offer all our prayers. The few that have been spoken and the many that have been offered in the silence, and we offer them all in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So some notices. One thing I was struck by, and you're probably much more disciplined than me, but I'm struck by the fact that this could be really quite a decimating year for the British Legion, couldn't it, in terms of poppies? And I'd just encourage you, those of you who, like me, found an old poppy in a drawer, dragged it out, to remember to hoy in some money and some send something towards the British Legion at this time, because, you know, how you feel about it, they do important work. We got a message yesterday about Kevin Twigg having a horrible accident, ending up unconscious in hospital, having to have 70 stitches in his face, hideous. The good news is that Kevin was picked up last night and is in pain, but is recovering at home. So we pray for Kevin, and we pray for Catherine and Jenna and the family at this time. If you would please be, if at this time when you're locked at home and you're looking for some stuff to do, if you're feeling pain and sadness and you want to vent it, I would be really interested in if you could write me some laments, write a lament and send it to me, and we will use it on Sundays. And also I'm going to do an Advent calendar online, so I want some pictures of this waiting time, Christmas time. Could you do me some pictures? That would be a beautiful thing. And for those of you who normally do shoe boxes, you used to go trailing around the shops and, you know, buying some bits and putting them in your box and blah, 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 blah. At this time, what we're going to do is we're going to invite you to donate £10 towards a shoe box. And Janine is your woman for that. Would you like to link up with her? Today, the building is not allowed to be open for worship. That's them's the rules, folks. So, but it is allowed to be open for private prayer. So the plan is that it will be definitely open Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays. That's the plan. We'll send you around more information about that once it's firmer. But today, on Sundays, the plan will be that normally the building will be open from 4:30 till 6:00, that's the normal plan. Today, it will be open from 3:00. Come for a time to remember. There's a PowerPoint of pictures. The idea is that people come in, they have a time of prayer, and then they leave. That's the plan. Maybe light a candle, maybe not. That's up to you. And we've got some lovely pictures, and people have written some things. Fabulous. If you think, that's all very nice, Leslie, but there's no way, Jose, that I'm leaving my house. Hurrah! The good news is that we have it on Zoom. And so this link that you got here will also take you to that time on Zoom. Okay? And it's our first time doing that on Zoom. So, you know, brothers and sisters, be kind. We'll give it our best. Remember, I'm the techie idiot, so it's not going to be brilliant. But anyway, that's the plan. So I'm now going to dedicate our offerings of money. If you need help with me putting money into the safe, send me a check and I'll walk it down, or send it to the building. We'll lock it away in the safe. If you need help learning how to do electronic banking, we can help you learn how to do that. But now we're going to have our Holy Communion, and then, sorry, have our dedicate our offering and then move to our Holy Communion. So it might be that you need to run out the room and go into your kitchen and grab something. That's allowed. But for now, let us pray. Lord, money, bread, wine, symbolizing all that we have, all that we are, and symbolizing that we offer ourselves at your service. Our prayer is that you will transform the bread and the wine, that they will speak to us messages of heaven. Our prayer is that you will transform the gifts of money, the gifts of the hours and the days that are ours, that we would be part of the work of the kingdom. Bless these gifts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we move to our communion, we will listen to Restless is the Heart.
Restless is the heart, until it comes.
Loving God, we come to your table waiting to meet you, reaching out with unspoken joy that strains to break the bonds of silence and erupt into songs of praise. God, you are there waiting in the silence, ready to greet us in bread and wine, answering our longings with loving welcome, and crowning our praise with promises fulfilled. God, we wait, we reach, we find. Praise be to you. And let us hear the narrative of the institution of the Lord's Supper as it was recorded by the Apostle Paul. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is broken for you." In the same way also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So we take bread and we take wine. And as Jesus gave thanks, so we give thanks. Let us pray. God, your wisdom draws us in. It is the bright sun in the morning and the soft moon of night. Your wisdom is the dawn and the dusk, the gentle opening and gentle closing. We praise you for all your wisdom gives: strength for continuation, hope for consolation, courage for perseverance, joy for the journey, and love for all time. We thank you for your presence with us day by day. We may be separate from our neighbours, from our families, from our church community. We may be separate physically, but we are not separate from you. Transform these gifts that they would remind us of your transforming presence with us day by day. That you are with us in each time that we eat and drink. That apart from each other, we are part of the work and the life of your kingdom and part of the love of your heart. Thank you. Amen. He took bread, blessed it, broke it and said, "This is my body, it is broken for you." He took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. The body of Christ, the blood of Christ. So let us pray. Oh my God, I don't want to miss you when you come in all your splendor and beauty into my life and into the life of the world. Oh my teacher, make me, help me, insist that we don't squander our precious, unique life with foolishness and sleeplessness, and sleepiness and distractions, but learn to give all our attention single-mindedly, day and night, in joy and sorrow, alone and with others, to give our attention to you until you come. And then you will find us with our lamps burning brightly. Thanks be to God. Amen. So our final hymn is Make Me a Channel of Your Peace, and after that we will have a benediction and say the grace, and then we will move into our church meeting, and everybody is most welcome to stay and share and be part of that. So Make Me a Channel of Your Peace. Big thanks to the musicians and big thanks to the range of techie people that made the whole of this act of worship possible. Thanks to John Watts that nobody can see, but also to Richard Scorer that you can see. Thank you very much. We have been gathered in by God, who is the source of all wisdom and wonder. And now we are sent with our tasks and our challenges to do the work of the kingdom. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Creator, the Son, and the Spirit be with us and those who we love, wherever they are. Thanks be to God. Amen.